Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Yes, it is that time of the week where we put your questions to our GP. You can keep them coming into us, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. And Dr. Niall Breen joins me in studio now. Niall, you're very welcome.
Hiya, good to be here.
We'll get to people's questions. One says, I am a 47-year-old female, generally feeling run down, recurring pain in armpit, my left one, no lumps, going on months, comes and goes. Should I get an ultrasound? Had mammogram a couple of years ago, that was okay. Thickened tissue, got bloods done for fatigue a while ago, all okay except low iron. I'm taking iron for 3 months, but when stopped taking them, fatigue and feeling crap returned. Not sure what to do to get an answer of why I am like this. This is a good one, this kind of low energy that I'm sure a lot of people will identify with.
Yeah, absolutely. So the two very disparate things there. So firstly, this recurring pain in the left armpit, I would get that looked at. Okay, so the person hasn't felt any lump themselves and, you know, that probably haven't felt anything very obvious or very superficial there. So you probably do need somebody to, like, that person needs an examination of their armpit and probably by extension their breast as well, by a doctor. Okay, they may find nothing, they may find something. If they find nothing, should you get an ultrasound? Potentially. If you kind of have an ache in there, there might be something kind of deep-seated that we can't feel, or there could be usually something benign in there as well, okay? So that probably does need to be fleshed out a little bit more. The second part of the question, if they were started on iron, then there was something there that they kind of needed that replaced, okay? So if that person is feeling really, really tired and run down, I suppose you'd want to know a little bit more. Is this like a busy mum with loads of kids and kind of trying to work
yeah.
and trying to kind of juggle an awful lot? So is there anything else going on there? But that's probably somebody who does need to kind of follow up both of those things.
But with the supplements, I mean, separate, as you said, to go and to get a GP appointment and have that checked, if your energy is low and you take a supplement and your energy levels go up, should you stay on that or should you only take iron in particular, I suppose I'll ask you about?
Yeah, it depends on the supplement. So there are very few that are really have a strong body of evidence behind them that if somebody comes to me and says they feel run down and I do all the tests and don't find an obvious cause, it can be very, very difficult to advise somebody to take something that will work, because there isn't much evidence that many of those supplements do work to any extensive degree. Iron is a little bit different. If somebody has a low iron, that's important. So we want to know, like, where are you losing, like, why is your iron low? Are you losing it somewhere? So that's a little bit more important. When it comes down to it, we check for iron, folate and vitamin B12. They would be the common ones that we would kind of look out for. Whereas if you were looking for a supplement, you could probably see a whole host of things, many of which are actually in the average Western diet of someone who eats reasonably well. So that's why when someone talks about low iron, I wouldn't say it's a red flag, but it would probably make me sit up and take a little bit more notice.
Okay, so definitely seek out further information on that one and get to your GP for that. The next one says, I have pins and needles in my lower legs and feet as well as forearm and hands. It's constant, even if I'm sitting, standing or walking. Any idea what it might be? I have it about 10 days.
Okay, so it's a relatively short history. Okay, so things like that, it could be like if it's hands and feet, then you probably would want to get a basic enough set of bloods done for things again, like your vitamin B12, which we just spoke about, but also things like your thyroid and also make sure that you aren't anemic. Kind of getting it in the hands and the feet is a little bit less common. We would often see it in either or. In the hands, it can be associated with things like carpal tunnel syndrome. In the feet, it can be associated with kind of other deficiencies and things like that. So again, that's probably somebody who does need some basic investigations if they haven't had them.
Okay, feel very drained, says another. I'm not sleepy, but my body feels tired. Rested all weekend and feel the same today. A feeling that my body feels heavy to drag around.
Yeah, again, so this is somebody interesting. You'd want to know a little bit more about this person. Is this a person who's juggling 100 things? Are they doing a full-time job? Are they, again, have they maybe got a young family? Another thing that people don't often think about when they come to us about feeling drained, they're quite keen to get investigations. And when we sit down and take a more full history, we realise that they're maybe very, very stressed about something, or their mood is lower, that there's something else going on. So again, somebody feeling very, very drained, if it's persisting, so this person rested all weekend, still feels like that today, if that's the only thing that they feel drained, I would probably give it a little bit longer before I would kind of be calling the doctor about it. I would also sort of say to people that COVID is still around and it can often present as things like this. So it might be worth doing a swab and you might get your answer within about 2 minutes.
Wow, that's interesting. But it is normal for us from time to time to feel absolutely exhausted.
Yeah, we all feel wiped from time to time, definitely. And again, it's just life, whether you're, you know, whether you have a chronic condition or whether you're extremely busy or whether you have an awful lot of obligations in life. I mean, again, I would have someone come into me saying they're feeling drained, and when we go down through it, they might be looking after a parent, looking after a loved one who's very unwell. So again, it's feeling drained in the short term wouldn't concern me too much, but I'd like to see how that pans out.
And sometimes with health and well-being, we think, you know, you're eating well, you're going to the gym, you're doing all these things, and you forget about having fun. You forget about, have you done something recently that really lights you up, that,
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
isn't it falling under that regimental way of life? And we kind of forget about that, that can give us energy too, rather than drain us. At 34 weeks pregnant, says another, and baby is breech. Is there anything you can do to turn it?
Okay, that's a good, that's an interesting question. So 34 weeks pregnant and the baby is breech, I don't think there's anything much that you need to do in the next few weeks about this. Now, I'm not an obstetrician, I'll add that caveat, but breech, really, it's from 36, 37 weeks onwards, as far as my training would have covered, that you can do certain things to try and turn a baby. I don't know if all the hospitals do it. I don't know how successful it is, but a baby that's breech, if it's getting towards term, oftentimes that person will be advised that they should have a cesarean section for the safety of the baby. Maybe that person is wondering, is there anything that they can do themselves at home to try and make it turn? And I would say the short answer is no. And we would find that babies do turn an awful lot in that kind of up to 37 weeks. So this person might go for an appointment at 36, 37 weeks and see that it's not breech. So just, I suppose, for people to know, breech means that it's legs first as opposed to head first. So this person might go back in a few weeks and they see it's head first and things can proceed as normal.
I know, you would think that if you stood in your head for a certain amount of time or bounced on the ball for long enough, something would happen. But sometimes these babies do what they want.
They do. And I don't know if that would make any difference.
I do not take medical advice for me while pregnant. Do not go in any kind of handstand. Certainly not. Absolutely not. Another says, I have been on 75 milligrams of aspirin for the last 5 months after a mini stroke. For the last 6 weeks, I've had a strange pain or sensation in my left foot when it's touched in certain ways or when relaxing. I can walk fine in certain soft shoes. I've had an MRI, but no explanation. Could this be gout caused by uric acid from the aspirin? Would a blood test be a good idea to get to the bottom of it?
Okay, so the 75 milligrams of aspirin is quite a low dose, but there would be in the literature that taking aspirin can lead to gout. This person has had an MRI, so that would imply to me that they've already seen a doctor of some sort. So I don't think that doctor would have ordered an MRI if there was obvious gout. Gout, you kind of can't miss, really, most of the time. Now, whether this person has a kind of a low-level smouldering sort of a gout, it's very, very possible, which wouldn't be as florid or as immediately obvious. So I think that person kind of signed off with, would a blood test be helpful to get to the bottom of it? I think it probably would. Again, if they've had an MRI, it's possible that they've had some investigations already. But a blood test might be helpful there. They can do antibodies for arthritis and other inflammation antibodies and things like that. So a blood test would be helpful.
Okay, good stuff. Chronic post-nasal drip comes on this time of year every year. Is there anything I can do? Very uncomfortable. What is a post-nasal drip?
It's where you just get this kind of constant dripping going sort of back down the throat, and it causes cough and clearing your throat, and it can be very, very uncomfortable. Yes, you can get all sorts of nasal inhalers that, I suppose, if you kind of think of the back of the nose where it leads into the mouth, and the back of the nose where it leads into the back of the mouth through the sinuses, it's a bit like a spaghetti junction and there's just roads going everywhere. And sometimes they can get little roadblocks in them. We call them polyps. Now, they're not worrisome, but they are irritating. So they mean that the kind of stuff doesn't sort of clear out as it should at kind of other times of the year. So then it kind of tends to drip down at night time when you're sitting somewhere and you're just trying to watch a TV program or do something or be quiet, and you need to cough and clear your throat. So sometimes these nasal inhalers, they contain steroids and they deliver them locally. They cause those polyps to shrink and they cause the airways at the back to open out a bit, and they can help clear things a little better. So
that, and that's obviously with prescription from a GP. It's not an over-the-counter.
It is. The steroid ones you can get from your GP, but you can get ones over-the-counter that might be worth trying, but you can't use those for longer periods. So if it's very, very annoying, I would consider getting something on prescription.
And speaking of over-the-counter, a texter says, do I need to get checked out by the doctor before taking Viagra? I've seen the ads for the over-the-counter tablets. I'm in my late 40s and it is a cause of embarrassment.
Yeah. And so I suppose the short answer is generally no. There are very few reasons why somebody cannot take a medication like Viagra. So if this person goes to their doctor or goes to their pharmacist and asks to say for Viagra, they'll ask them a few basic questions to make sure that they're OK to get it. If this person's in their late 40s, then I'm sure they're probably OK to proceed with it.
Is it true, though, that erectile dysfunction can be cause of an underlying condition? Should you see your GP if you are experiencing those issues?
I think if it's something that's going on in a sustained way. So when somebody comes to me and talks about erectile dysfunction, I'll also ask them about their libido or their interest, because sometimes men will confuse, say, their interest in sex with their ability to obtain and maintain an erection. And they're intertwined, but they're two quite different things. And sometimes if someone has erectile dysfunction, that can be associated with underlying what we call atherosclerosis or disease of the arteries and things like that. So I think it's reasonable for that person to maybe go along to their pharmacist, take the medication, see does it help. And if not, or if they think that there's something more going on, like going along to your GP would be totally reasonable. I talk to people about this all the time. I totally understand for patients. It's not something they particularly like bringing to the table, but we're very comfortable discussing it.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that, you know, your thoughts around it can further compound it. So to meet somebody objective and get proper advice on it, I think it's a good place to start, be it mm-hmm. available over the counter or not. Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Niall Breen from Portmarnock GP Clinic, thank you very, very much. If we didn't get to your question today, Niall will be back next week and you can keep them coming into us lunchtime live at newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.